We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Rob Doster here. I got Jeff Goodman with me.
Hell no.
John Tate.
Are we still live?
Till the 68 till I die.
I'm sorry, man. I blacked out.
Randolph Children.
DJ Khaled. You know the big DJ Khaled guy?
Hands grow up and in.
Goodman needs to be fired all the time.
Josh Pastner.
You're going to beat people straight up.
You know the deal.
They have no swag. They have no nothing.
Terrell McNeil.
From the bluest of the blue bloods to the smallest of the mid-majors.
This is Field of 68. After dark.
Here we go. Our marathon continues on the Field of 68 Selection Sunday. I'm John Fanta. We got Terrence Oglesby. We got Tyler Hansborough. And we've got the head coach to start this hour of the McNeese State Cowboys. It is Will Wade joining us. McNeese is going dancing to the NCAA tournament for the first time since 2002. They are a 12 seed in the Midwest region. They'll take on 5th seed Gonzaga. Coach Wade will meet Mark Few. This game will be Thursday night, 7:25 Eastern time on TBS in Salt Lake City. Will, let's start with this, man. Congratulations. I got to imagine the emotions are high. The excitement is high down there in McNeese. How special is it for you and your program and the Cowboys for you to be leading this program to the NCAA tournament? What are the emotions of this night?
Just incredible. I mean, we had a huge crowd that showed up for the selection party. We haven't been in 22 years. I mean, you know, shoot, nobody's got any practice at doing any of this. So it's been a celebration here all week in Lake Charles with our fans and with everybody. It just means so much to so many people down here. And it's been a lot of fun. And now we got to get down to business and see if we can go out to Salt Lake and compete and try to win a game or two. But it's been a ton of fun. And, you know, of our roster, we have a bunch of transfers, you know, and we have one kid on our entire roster that's ever played in the NCAA tournament. So to get to see their reactions and see them having fun all week has been extremely, extremely cool for me. And I can't wait to just watch them walk out on the, you know, I'll walk out behind them at the open practice just to watch them walk out there on the court and see all that, and just so I can, you know, just see how joyful they are and how excited they are. So that part's been fun, but I mean, shoot, we got to get to business and quit patting on the back and see if we can win a game.
Hey, Will, we did off the carousel prior to the season, and you talked about, hey, you know, I've got a bunch of transfers in here that they've never been to the NCAA tournament. And it's kind of one of those things to easier to keep guys on track when they're that excited about, you know, the collective effort. Have there been any, obviously a season's full of peaks and valleys. What's been the most challenging thing and what's really been the most rewarding thing with this group?
You know, it's been fun just because everything's been new this year for our fans, for the players. Like, everything's been so new and fresh. We've got a little bit of just giddiness to us because it's just like pinch ourselves. I mean, we've won 30 games, which is, you know, really, really difficult to do anywhere, but almost impossible to do at this level. And, you know, it's been cool for our guys. The hardest part's been, you know, we always talk about you know, you can't accept in winning what you wouldn't accept in losing. Well, we had some slippage throughout the year, but we were still winning by 15, 20 points. And, you know, I'm irate at stuff. And our guys are like, Coach, chill out, man. We're winning. Like, what the world's going on? I'm like, guys, this isn't going to work. This isn't sustainable. And so, you know, teaching the guys how to win. And we suffered a loss halfway through conference play at Southeastern where they just played better than us. They deserved to beat us. We almost won it at the end, but they deserved to beat us. And you know, I think that loss really helped us. We haven't lost since then. So really just teaching the guys how to win, what it takes to win. And now we've got to lean on. Now, luckily, the one kid we've got who has NCAA tournament experience is our best player, Wells. I mean, he's a conference tournament MVP, conference player of the year, conference newcomer of the year, any award you can have in our conference, he earned. And so he's been to the NCAA tournament with TCU. And so that'll help. But just the newness of everything has been really, really cool. We've had just a really good vibe to us all year. And hopefully we can, hopefully we can keep it going a little while longer in Salt Lake.
Hey, Coach, congrats on the year and getting to the tournament. With that said, with preparation, how will you keep this team right now hungry? Because you guys have had such a good year. Is it a hard practices? Are you guys doing a lot of competitions in preparation for the tournament?
You know, the last couple of days, because our tournament ended, our conference tournament ended on Wednesday. We took off Thursday and Friday. We did some offensive practicing yesterday. Did a little bit of both today. Tomorrow we're gonna go hard. Like tomorrow we'll do our normal one hard day a week, and then Tuesday we'll start our 2-day prep since we play on Thursday. You know, we'll do our 2-day prep Tuesday and Wednesday. But we've been pretty consistent all year with how we've practiced and how we've done things. And there's no need to change. We don't need to change anything now because we're going to the NCAA tournament. What we've done all year has been plenty good enough most nights. We just need to do it at a little bit higher level as we move into the NCAA tournament here.
Well, you look on to the NCAA tournament and you have all, you know, 30 wins. I always look at it going into the NCAA tournament, like mid to low majors with 28 to 30 plus wins. Those guys just understand what winning is. When you go up against a team like Gonzaga, who has, you know, a good bit of history like that, how do you communicate to your guys, like, what is this? Like, what is winning at this stage in the season? Because you've done it. You've done it.
Yeah, I mean, we may understand what winning is. Gonzaga knows what winning is.
Right,
you know, I mean,
right.
I think they've been to, 25 straight tournaments, which is incredible. And not only that, they've been to like 8 straight Sweet 16s. So, I mean, they get out of the first weekend every time. It's hard enough to get there, and then, you know, it's even harder to advance. But we really talk about, we've got 5 game standards every game. And, you know, I try to the bigger the game, the narrower your focus. You got to lock in. You got to really, really narrow your focus. The bigger the game is. You've heard that before, T.O.
I've heard that one before.
Yeah, that's an OP-ism, really a Joel Fish-ism.
Yep.
But we've got to just really, like, tomorrow we're going to handle all the logistical stuff, and then it's basketball from there on out. And we got to focus in on ourselves and make sure we're ready to go, and then, you know, do as best we can with scouting Gonzaga and preparing for what they do.
So,
Coach,
it's my full understanding, Coach Wade, that you and Terrence Oglesby go back a little bit. Okay, I need a story.
That's correct.
I need something before we dive into all our brackets. This is much more important for me to hear right now. And his face is almost purple, so you've got to have something here.
I don't have much. He was pretty easy to recruit when we got him. Shit, we didn't have to do much for him. You know, now they think I do everything for kids. We didn't have to do much to get T.O. It's funny. We found out about him through our women's coach at Clemson at the time. is from the same area he was in Bradley County, Tennessee, and they were from the same area. And so that's how we found out about him. And he was a phenomenal shooter, phenomenal worker. And he was a damn good player for the Tigers, that's for sure.
I miss Will by a year. He took off and went to Harvard to work for Amaker, I believe.
Yeah, I left. When he got there to play, I left.
Yeah.
But we stayed in touch. I was there when he was recruiting and coming in on all his visits and all that sort of stuff.
Yep.
Tyler, did you have one more?
Coach, I'm just amazed with the turnaround and how quickly you've turned this team around. What do you think that is to? Do you think it's a portal? What do you contribute that to? I mean, it's a pretty quick turnaround to a program.
Yeah, I mean, look, we've tied the largest turnaround in NCAA history. If we could win a game, we'd actually have the largest single season turnaround in NCAA history. I mean, it's real simple. We got good players. I mean, look, it's the horse, it ain't the jockey. And so you got to go get good players. That's always been my philosophy. And I tell my staff all the time, we're up there diagramming stuff. I say, guys, give me tricky players. Forget all the tricky plays. Give me some guys with some wiggle. And we don't need all that X's and O's, all that junk we got up there on the board. But, I mean, look, we hit on a bunch of guys. You know, you never know how it's all going to come together in the portal. I saw something a couple of weeks ago of the teams that took, like, more than five or six guys in the portal. I think only us and Utah State were you know, had winning records or were doing, you know, were outperforming what we should do. So we hit on them, and really the kid Wells, who was the conference player of the year and all that stuff that I talked about, he's a tremendous leader. And, you know, we found some other guys in junior college and in the portal that we just hit. And we've got really, really talented team, very, very good players. You know, I got three or four guys on this team that would have played on any of my good LSU teams that were ranked in the top 25. I got two of them that probably be starters on those teams, another couple, three that would come off the bench on those teams. So, I mean, we've got a good collection of talent. When you got that, I just got to stay out of the way and not screw it up.
Well, with Shahada and with Christian Shoemate too, who's had some dunks this year that are just insane. What
he's been on SportsCenter outside top of Shoemate, 10 eight times.
That's insane. Just thinking about it, like he is that kind of guy. But more on Shahada, what makes him different? You talked about his leadership as far as being just a pure player, just evaluating the player itself. What do you see more than anything with him? Just with all these awards.
I mean, he leads us in points. He leads us in assists. He leads us in steals. I mean, he's number two in the country in steals. He makes our defense go. He's tremendous offensively, both scoring the ball. His shooting splits are really good. And then, like I said, I mean, he'll have is nothing for him to have 25 points, six assists, and four steals. And our biggest games, he's been at our best. We won it. I know Michigan kind of tanked it this year, but we won at Michigan. He had 30 plus. We won at UAB. He had 30 plus. In our conference tournament, he averaged 27 over two games, scored 27 in both games in our conference tournament. We won those comfortably, or he just scored 30 because we took him out at the end of both of those. Our game at VCU, he had 20 plus when we won there. So he's always been at his best in our biggest moments. Our guys look to him. We're really going to look to him this week since he's the one guy that's got some NCAA tournament experience, and hopefully he can drag us across the finish line here in another game.
Hey, I got one more, John. I got one more. Will, you take a year off. What's been the thing that you took
nice
from
way
that
to put
year
it.
Off? I got you, baby. Don't you worry. Well, how do you? What was the thing that you took away from that year off that you brought into this season that's attributed to some of the success?
Well, yeah, after I got my ass fired, you know, I had a little sabbatical year.
Sabbatical.
There. You know, look, it's a good way to look at it, right? You go learn. But I did some work in the NBA. I did a bunch of scouting work for some teams, and I was able to go out and watch some practice. You know, as a coach, you never get to watch anybody else. I went to some mini camps. I just got to do a bunch of different things. The one thing is, look, I'd had a pretty fast rise, and you know, sometimes you gotta get knocked down, and I need to be knocked down. And the one thing that it's really taught me that I've enjoyed this year more than any year. I just have an appreciation for everything. The bus rides, we have fun. Like, I try to have as much fun with the group, as much fun. Like, we were looking up restaurants before I got on here to take our guys to eat at in Salt Lake, where we could have a cool experience. Like, I've been much more, you know, just open to making sure our guys have a good time and have a good experience. I think that's especially important in the portal area. And then, you know, we changed a little bit our flow offense. was pretty janky before, and we've gotten better at that and changed a couple things defensively. But it was good to get out and see other people. Like I got to watch college practices when I was evaluating guys, and so that part was fun, and I certainly learned a lot, and I was able to apply a little bit of that here at McNeese this year.
Will Wade, the head coach at McNeese, again, going to the big dance for the first time in 22 years. Thursday night, Salt Lake City game will be televised over on TBS when they take on Gonzaga. Will, best of luck. Safe travels up to Salt Lake City. I know it's not a short trek. Good luck up in Utah, and thanks so much for joining us tonight.
Thanks for having me on, guys. I appreciate it.
There we go, all the way from Lake Charles. And with that, we say good evening. We have 41 minutes to do a lot. And I can't wait to hear from this crew. I think this could be a really interesting 41 minutes. John Fanta, Tyler Hansbrough, Terrence Oglesby. So, Psycho T, I'm going to give you the basketball here for the first touch. When you look at the bracket, okay, there's so many things that you could zone in on with this bracket. What's the thing that you're looking at in this bracket that's on your mind the most?
It's easy. It's meeting Arizona and North Carolina in the Elite Eight to go to the Final Four. That would be a matchup I'd be looking at. I'm also looking at the Tennessee-Texas possibility. I like that matchup as well. I like a lot of drama. Those are two games that could be, a lot of history. And Caleb, Pac-12 Player of the Year, RJ, ACC Player of the Year. We all know what happened last year at UNC. That potential matchup is going to bring high viewership. And also, you've got to think about it. You know, if they gave Carolina the 2 seed, would that game be possible? Probably not. But rightfully so, they deserve the 1 seed and they took it. That's what I first see.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
T.O.
My biggest thing, John, is, man, there's a lot of teams that I thought were really good teams that didn't make the NCAA tournament. When I look at that bracket, that's what I look at. There was so much bid thievery, thieves among us this year. I mean, to a point this year, guys, where it's like you just started to scratch your head. Because, you look at NC State, nobody picked them five games in 5 days. New Mexico was teetering on the bad side of the bubble. They go 4 games in 4 days. And it's just one thing after another. And there were a lot of quality teams this season that aren't dancing. And everybody's like, no expansion. The problem with the no expansion talk is the fact that there's a lot of people complaining after this week. And that's kind of what makes it beautiful. But there's also some cases where it's kind of understandable to where you would think like, hey, these teams deserved it. There just wasn't enough room, which makes it great, but it also makes it irritating.
Well, here's the deal. We could go on all night about who got in and who didn't, but the fact of the matter is this. You're exactly right. For all those teams that were left out of the field, you have to look at it this way. All right, one, you didn't do quite enough. And two, this was an all-time weekend of bid thievery. It was more than thievery.
Thievery!
It was absolute highway robbery. It was elder abuse in college basketball. I'm not kidding you. I mean, they took the house. They took the car. They took it all. Between UAB and Oregon and Duquesne, if you had told me 2 weeks ago that Duquesne was going to make the NCAA tournament, congratulations to Keith Danbrot, one of the good guys. I'm a Northeast Ohio guy. I am thrilled for Keith Danbrot and Duquesne. But NC State, I mean, you both follow the ACC. Terrence, if I told you 10 days ago NC State was going to go dancing, what the heck would you have told me?
I would have said you're crazy one, and my main man, DJ Burns, a walking refrigerator with ballerina feet, must have gone nuts. And, buddy, did that ever happen? It did. And DJ Horn's a bad man, too. They have talent on that team. Guys, NC State's had talent on that team all year. It's just they've struggled to put, you know, consistent winning together until they needed to win five games in a row. An absolute historical run on all accounts. Tyler, I can't remember the last time a team in the first day of the ACC tournament even made it to the semifinal game, let alone the ACC championship and win it. So what a run by Kevin Keats and company. There were whispers before this whole tournament started. There are no longer whispers. He gets an automatic two-year extension, and the Wolfpack are going. I'm shocked. I'm shocked. I'm happy for them, but I'm also shocked. And that brought up the ACC bid count up to five, which, you know, I think I won some bets here, there, or somewhere. But that all being said, it was good for Keats and the Wolfpack.
Yeah, you want to take your victory lap tonight.
Yeah. Oh, it's going to happen. It's not going to happen now, but it's going to happen.
Congratulations. We'll get to it. I agree with Tyler. Tyler, I totally agree with you. Out of all the regions, the one that's most paved, in my opinion, T.O., disagree if you want, the one that's most paved, in my opinion, for the one versus the two is North Carolina, Arizona. It worked out that way. If you're a committee member, you smile. The Caleb Love Bowl's on here, folks. I think it's going to happen because here's the thing in the West, right? Beyond Carolina and Arizona, the three is Baylor. I don't trust them to get to the Elite Eight enough, okay? The four is Alabama. T.O., they don't defend a lick. They could get beat
by Charleston.
Yeah,
and they're playing Charleston. Yeah.
Who I'm taking them. Calling it right now. The Charleston Cougars are knocking off Alabama. T.O., are you joining me?
I'm there with you. And they've already played Aaron Estrada and all those guys. They know that personnel pretty well. I have a lot of faith in what NATO is doing, but Kelsey has those guys. They're consistent, they're good, they have guys everywhere, they're big and they're switchable. Whenever you play against this is arguably, guys, one of the most aesthetically pleasing ball games that we'll see. Both teams might score 100 points. The kind of game that we're going to be.
This is the aesthetically pleasing region, like, sure. Alabama, Charleston, St. Mary's, Grand Canyon is phenomenal. What a great 5-12 matchup. How do you feel, T.O.? Clemson, New Mexico, the Lobos are as hot as anybody. You got P.J. Hall. How does New Mexico contain him inside? And then the guard matchup. You get Chase Hunter, Joe Girard on one side. You've got Jalen House and Jamal Mashburn Jr. on the other. How's that going to go?
Jalen, I call him Captain Chaos House. Guys, if you haven't watched this guy play, he is incredible. He never runs out of juice. He's always the emotional leader. He makes big shots, and they can space you out, and they have multiple guards that can just create on their own. If things need to get simple and you're scouted to the roof, Jamal Mashburn Jr. can get his own shot. Donovan Dent, who was sick in the championship game, can find ways to impact the game. Jalen House is a lightning rod, and they're going to have to deal with a lot of emotional up and downs playing against this New Mexico team, because when they go on runs, it's 12 to 16 point runs. That's what they are. As far as the inside is concerned, Nelly Jr. Joseph is a beast. PJ Hall is going to have to hit some shots from the perimeter to pull them out. It's a perfectly orchestrated roster for New Mexico for what Richard Pitino likes to do. Quick guards that are going to get underneath you. They're going to get out. They're going to pressure the passing lanes. And they have two big-time shot blockers behind that defense. They're a handful. And Clemson, they cannot turn the ball over, and they're going to have to hit shots. And that's a mighty two whenever you play against New Mexico, because you're constantly under duress.
Yeah, we're starting this show with madness. Tyler Hansbrough, I'm calling my shot right now. I picked them to make the Final Four in the preseason. I'm not going that far. But of the four teams, the team that comes out in this pot, I am taking the Lobos of New Mexico to make the Sweet 16. There it is, Richard Pitino. You called me insane back in October. I am crazy, but I love your team. I like the way they play. I like the way they guard. Tyler Hansbrough, I'm taking New Mexico. I guess here's the thing, Tyler. As a North Carolina guy, right, you look at North Carolina's draw. Let's do this right now, okay? They get either Mississippi State or Michigan State. I mean, when you saw that, what was your thought process? Did you get afraid of Izzo? Were you afraid of playing Michigan State in the round of 32? Don't lie.
I don't want to talk smack about Michigan State. Our record against Michigan State is pretty good. And I do believe in Izzo. He does a great job. I think coaching matters in the tournament. But I've been talking about Mississippi State. If they hit shots, they have a big Tolu Smith, I think, could give people problems. And essentially that matchup, Smith and Armando, I think that would be a potential good matchup. But Michigan State, Tyson Walker, Hogard, if they get hot, they can win. And, you know, it's going to be – That's going to be a tough game for North Carolina. We can't overlook Michigan go Mississippi State. I think Mississippi State's going to beat Michigan State. I've just believed in State pretty much there, and I keep saying that, hey, they're going to turn around. They're a team. They just haven't done it. And so, I've learned my lesson, so I'm going to roll with Mississippi State here.
Where do you stand, Terrence?
I actually have Mississippi State winning this game. Josh Hubbard's a bad boy. And you look at that second round matchup between North Carolina and Mississippi State. He alluded to it. Tolu Smith's a bad man too now. And I don't think he gets enough credit. Robbie Hummel thinks he can't play. Robbie Hummel is wrong. Tolu Smith is the baddest man in the post in the SEC. He's that good. And then Hubbard going up against RJ Davis. I actually have Mississippi State not only winning the first game, I have them beating Carolina in the second round and going to the Sweet 16.
Oh! Oh! Oh,
you
no!
Dude, you just took New Mexico to go all the way to the Sweet 16. What am I supposed to do?
Why is that down one seed? You've got a 21-13. You've got a 21-13 Mississippi State team making the Sweet 16.
Hey, style makes the fight. Look at it. Hey, look at it. If NC State can do it, I think Mississippi State can do it too.
I agree with that. Yep. Tyler does not agree with that.
No, Tyler doesn't agree with that.
No, I do not agree with that. And I know that Mississippi State had some injuries early, but North Carolina is they've done it all year. I mean, they're not going to – like, they play – they're more well-rounded. By the way, I'm not sold on the SEC. So everyone's hyped them up. I'm not a believer like everyone else. So based off of that fact as well, I can't really pick them.
Yeah, here's the thing. The SEC gets 8 bids. We're going to find out. Sometimes you don't know until you get to the tournament just what a league is. We're going to find out about the Mountain West. Apparently, the committee was not fully bought in on the Mountain West because they put not one but two teams in the first four. I mean,
yeah,
you put what the hell were they thinking with Boise State? 6 quad one wins, a net of 26. You got three more quad two wins. I know you got a quad three loss, but you get 6 quad one wins. You went 7-3 on the road and you're playing in the first four? That's a travesty by this committee. You got it wrong. I'm sorry. Boise State, no bracketologist had them playing in Dayton. I mean, I don't mind having a little bit of questioning about, you know, you see a six-bid Mountain West. That's pretty impressive, but it's also rare. It's never happened. But my God, like, I don't know. That's my biggest thing with this committee, okay? You seated Dayton, who doesn't have a win over the field, on the seven line, and you put Boise State in Dayton when they beat a bunch of tournament teams? What are we doing? Right? FAU, here I go. FAU has two quadrant four losses, and you gave them an 8-9 game? If FAU, Terrence, hadn't made the Final Four last year, would they be in an 8-9 game with multiple quadrant four losses in the American?
Absolutely not. You raise a good point.
The best month of the year is here, which is why you need to know that we are now partnered with BetMGM. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for the listeners and the viewers of the Field of 68 all through the NCAA tournament. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, you can use the bonus code FIELD, and you will get up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM, regardless of whether or not that bet hits. Here's the best part. All you need to do is deposit and bet $10 of your hard-earned money. This is how you make it work. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using the bonus code FIELD. Deposit at least $10 and place your first wager on any game, and you get up to $1,500 in bonus bets regardless of the outcome of your bet. Just make sure you use that bonus code FIELD when you sign up. Most importantly, we do have some fun stuff coming for the conference tournaments and especially for the NCAA tournament. Bet insurance tokens, college hoops, odds boosts, and what I love the most, a nice parlay boost for anything you could possibly imagine betting on in the NCAA tournament, from odds and getting an at-large bid to Final Four futures to the highest seed to make to the Sweet 16. I'm calling it right now. BetMGM is the king of the prop bet for your March Madness needs. So go download the BetMGM app, use the code FIELD, and sign up today. And while I've got you, a quick request: the best way to support the Field of 68 and our content you get for free is to engage with us. Rate and review the pod, like and share the YouTube videos, tell your friends about us. It helps in a world where the algorithm is king. By now, you guys have surely heard about Autograph, an app founded by Tom Brady with the intention of disrupting the way that fans consume content covering their favorite teams. This is how the app works. All of the podcasters, bloggers, and digital creators covering a team have their content sent to that team's page in the Autograph app. Instead of having to bounce from site to site or trying to navigate the safer workspaces on Twitter, you can just scroll through Autograph. This isn't a hard sell. This is the truth. I am a UConn fan, and I use the Autograph app to keep up with the writers I read and the pods that I listen to about UConn basketball. The best part is that every piece of content that you consume gives you reward points. The more you get, the more chances you have at things like discounted tickets to games and the grand prize, a trip to the LA Regional and a spot in a suite for the Sweet 16 and Elite Eight games. Here's the best part. We've partnered with Autograph to donate $1 to the V Foundation every time someone downloads the app using the code F68, with a minimum of $2,500 getting donated. The app is free. So download, use the code F68, help us raise a little bit of money for cancer research, and give Autograph a try. I promise you it will be worth it. And while we're here, a quick reminder: make sure that you subscribe to The Daily. We have new landing pages with deep dives into each coaching change, as well as a tracker that provides scouting reports on the transfers that have entered the portal that you are going to want to know about. Hit the link below to subscribe. There is nothing better in sports than tournament time, which is why I need to tell you guys about our partners over at Rhythm. If you're into sports betting, you need Rhythm, the place for data-backed props and picks. For those that are unfamiliar, Rhythm, spelled R-I-T-H-M-M, is the go-to mobile app for player props and game picks. Backed by AI predictive models, Rhythm helps you make smarter and faster betting decisions across all sports, but particularly college basketball. With Rhythm, you get data-backed picks for every single Division I game, every single day. Users get free picks daily with the ability to upgrade to unlimited Texas. If you want to increase your edge and win more bets, go to the link in the description and download Rithm today. That's R-I-T-H-M-M, the place for data-backed props and picks. And while we're here, let me tell you about our newest partner for the month of March, Splash Sports, the home of certified community competition, where you get to play against your friends and not the house. Whatever game it is that you are playing, from Survivors to Tears to Pick X, the safest way to play for real money without the hassle of having to track down deposits or worry about payments is through Splash. They have partnered with PaySafe, the best deposit and payment system in the world, to ensure that money stays in safe hands and is delivered to the right places. To join the Field of 68 Survivor Madness, click the link in our profile below and join in. Entries are $5 a pop with a prize pool of up to $4,500. Winner take all. Join Splash and come prove that you're smarter than us.
You're just over here preaching. All you're doing is over here preaching.
Man, I just don't think when you talk to us about what you're looking for, Tyler, it doesn't seem like there's a whole lot of rhyme or reason to the actual seeding process. I'm not going to sit here. To the teams that are out, you got your heart broken. Guess what? There were 5 bid stealers. That's part of life. And by the way, I've said this on this show. Like, I've said it on other shows. I'm not in the tournament expansion thing. And the league that I cover only got 3 bids tonight. And it is a dark night for the Big East. And we can get to what that means and all that later. But I want to get back into regions here. I do. I want to get to Duke and Kentucky's region. All right? Because they're in the same region. Now, it's not Duke and Kentucky's region because the region belongs to Houston. Houston's the one seed in the South, right? Houston's the one seed in the South. Marquette is the 2. Tyler Kolek will be available for their first round game against Western Kentucky. They could meet Florida. That's a spicy round of 32 game. And then Florida's going to end up in this pod getting the winner of Boise State or Colorado. That's a really interesting first round game after a first 4. Guys, I like upsets here as well. Terrence Oglesby, when you see this South region, what's your reaction? What's the path for Houston? How does it boil down for you?
I think Houston's good until the Sweet 16, and I think Duke could give them some problems. I have Duke beating Houston just because. There's no rhyme or reason why. I said this before Selection Sunday. I think as far as a game-to-game situation is concerned, this is about as wide open as I've ever seen it. There are so many good teams and there are so many good players right now with this extra year, and guys are starting to understand that. We have guys that play at Howard that are in their 8th seasons. Like, there's really old players, and like, it's going to be continue to put out a good product. I have I have James Madison beating Wisconsin. That team's good. Then they play Duke in the second round. I think that'll be a tough challenge. But I think that James Madison, you talk about upsets, that's that 5-12 matchup that everybody starts to – their eyebrows raise a little bit. I think they could beat Wisconsin. I think it's going to be a really close game with Duke, but I think Duke's just going to have too much. And then if you look a little bit further down, is there anybody playing better than NC State right now? They're an 11 against a Texas Tech team. That's good. That's good. But as well as they're playing, I don't think anybody has anything for DJ Burns right now until they run into a Kentucky team in that second round. I do think there's upsets abound in this region. I think, you know, Micah Handlockton goes down today for Florida with a lower leg injury that looked pretty gruesome. You look at Florida going into that game. I think Boise or Colorado could beat Florida in this particular occasion. Love what Todd Gold's done. Good that they got in the tournament. I do think Micah means a lot to that defense. So, like you said, John, I think there's a lot of upsets to be had in this bracket.
Tyler, how do you see the South? Where's an upset coming from? What do you think?
First of all, a game I want to watch, and now a lot of people are going to call me crazy, is Marquette and Western Kentucky. Western Kentucky likes to get out and pressure. They like to get up and down the court. They run a fast-paced offense. So that, to me, is going to be a fun game to watch. And I know everyone's going to sit here and say, Marquette's really, really good. Marquette is good. They're also wounded right now. Keep that in mind. Here's my other thing is, T.O.'s on to something with NC State. You've got to give him credit. What they did in the ACC tournament and the momentum they could carry into the NCAA tournament, they're a team that I hate to say it, they could surprise a lot of people. And DJ Burns, like you said, he is an underrated big, and what he does as far as getting his other teammates involved, he is an incredible passer. That's one of his best qualities about his game, along with his footwork, his size and footwork, and his his hands. It just doesn't match. And he is a fun player to watch. For my upsets in this bracket, well, I tell you what, I think Duke is vulnerable. And I do too. And the reason I say that is, T.O., you're thinking of Duke as like a traditional Duke. This is not the traditional Duke. We keep trying to think that this is going to be the Duke of the Duke that we all kind of associate Duke with. I just don't think that they've really found the best way to use Filipowski. I've said it all year. The guy does not do well handling physical bigs. And when he gets to Houston, I think they're going to beat him up. They're a physical, defensive, grinded out team. And I just don't think Duke's built for that. And also, they're young in a lot of places. And young doesn't win in the tournament like we've talked about.
Here's why I agree with you. I think Duke and Wisconsin are extremely vulnerable. And this is a big tip. And nod or shake your head, depending on what you think. You can't make these picks thinking all about what you just saw from a team in the conference tournament. You can't. Just because a team won their conference tournament doesn't mean shit when they take the floor Thursday or Friday. It could be a bad thing. Early conference tournament exit teams I actually like sometimes more in the NCAA tournament because they're refreshed and they're pissed off because they're coming off a loss. So a couple years ago, Iowa showed up to Buffalo. They played Richmond. Richmond beat them. I thought Iowa was the better team, but Iowa kind of came in feeling all good about themselves because they won the Big Ten. It didn't work out. I think Wisconsin's – there's the shimmy. Wisconsin loses. I am taking James Madison. They're 31-3. I'm telling you, folks, Terrence Edwards and T.J. Bickerstaff are the real deal. They're the real freaking deal. James Madison went to Michigan State opening 9-1. You know, they two of their losses were to App State. Terrence, when you get in the league, sometimes a team has your number. But if you've never played them, I really think Wisconsin, great Big Ten tournament run. Also, I wonder how much it took out of them. And James Madison, if Vermont's going to bring a lot of fans, UVM fans are going to be rooting for James Madison because UVM, look, they're out for an upset themselves here, and they could do it on Friday in Brooklyn. I don't think they will. I don't think they have enough. I'm going to take Duke to beat Vermont. I just think Duke's a better team. That doesn't always mean that you win in the tournament, but I will say this. If I could wager on an upset, and our friends at BetMGM use the code FIELD, if I could wager on an upset to happen in any pod, this is the pod I would pick. Because I really believe that this 12 or 13, one of those two teams is going to pull it off. And I think Tyler Hansborough agrees to some capacity. And I don't know what you think, Terrence, if you trust Wisconsin, if you're back in on the Badgers or not.
No, I'm with you on James Madison. And keep in mind, too, they've had success against the Big Ten when they beat Michigan State earlier this year. So the confidence is there. There is no glass ceiling there with them. They've already broken through that. So I'm with you. I think what they've done there at JMU has been awesome. And good point on them beating Appalachian State or Appalachian State beating them twice. Sometimes a team just has your number. Those things just happen.
DJ Horn versus Pop Isaacs is going to be fun. I am excited.
Heck yeah, it is.
Texas Tech, I like their team. I really do. They've got balanced scoring between Joe Toussaint. That's a great matchup, guys. It really is. But we got to turn in the South to Kentucky. Here we go. Here comes the fun and the entertainment here, because you just said it. Marquette's the two. You compare the other twos, Iowa State, Big 12 tournament champions, tough as hell, Tennessee, and Arizona. It's not unmanageable for Kentucky in their little pod to potentially get to an Elite Eight. But they got business first. They got Oakland first. I don't mind the draw there. Then they got Texas Tech or NC State. Do I wonder if DJ Burns played this Kentucky team, what would happen? Yes, I do. Yes, I do about that specific matchup. What do you make here? You got Marquette and Florida. Could be a first four team as well if they beat Florida. But Florida has been playing great basketball. Terrence, what do you make of Kentucky's draw? Do you still like them to get to an Elite Eight?
Careful with Campy. I mean, you one of the good guys in college basketball. Good for him for making another tournament. I think Kentucky can just score so many points. One that I really want to see, that Texas Tech NC State, Pop Isaacs, DJ Horn, that really excites me. One, that's going to be a great game. Not a good game. That's going to be a great game. And, you know, with everything that Texas Tech does, DJ Burns should be able to pick some of those things apart. They're not going to get too complicated on offense. Make a play. If they help, you should be fine, you know, making the right read. But Kentucky beating Oakland, and Kentucky, I think they beat NC State too. I think there's too much firepower. And quite frankly, when they're running that fast, they're a load. So I have Kentucky, to be honest with you. If Tyler Kolek doesn't have his oblique situation, I would have them all the way to the Elite Eight without question, probably even to the Final Four. That oblique scares me just because I've had back problems, and that's not a back problem, but it's close enough to that area to where you just lock up and you can't move. That's serious business. So I'm really worried about that. And if he's completely healthy, I would pick Marquette. If he's not completely healthy and he looks hampered, I would go more towards Kentucky making all the way to the Elite Eight and potentially even the Final Four. I mean, I like their draw for what they got.
T.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right here. You know, I'm with T.O. on this. I think Kentucky, you know, with Marquette being a little bit banged up, I think they could advance pretty easily if they come out there and play offense and somewhat show up on the defensive end. And also, I will say this, Fanta, I'm with you. Kentucky got bounced in the SEC tournament. Sometimes those losses make you hungry, and it can make you look at things that you haven't done all year very well and try to improve on those areas and get you ready for the tournament. And hopefully that's what Kentucky has done to really get ready for the tournament. But I can going all the way to the Elite Eight. I think they get in some type of trouble with Houston. I think Houston's just a veteran team, and I think they're very disciplined outside of what they did in the championship game against Iowa State. So, I think they go to the Elite Eight, but I think.
I think so too. I've got Kentucky in the Elite Eight. I do. And Big Blue Nation out there, we're not hating because you are giving us an in here with your SEC tournament performance in which you just no-showed. But I think it ends up being a good thing. I've got Kentucky in this Elite Eight. I have them meeting Houston. You're laughing. What are you laughing at?
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
No, I love it with, hey, we're not hating at all after a complete no-show by your team. That's what you said. We're not hating. You're made the Elite Eight, but we're even giving you a door to do it after a complete no-show in the SEC tournament, which is true. It's true, but I thought it was funny how you prefaced that. Like, I don't, yeah.
For Kentucky, if not now, then frickin' win. Under John Calipari.
Of course.
It's time. It's time for you, Kentucky.
I agree.
It's time for you, Kentucky, to put a run together. The time is now. You can do it. That draw is gettable. Go and do it. Yeah, I believe you will. I'm picking you to go in the Elite Eight. This isn't some sorcery or some game, T.O. I'm picking them to go to the Elite Eight.
And I'm with you. I'm right there with you.
All right, let's turn to East. Let's turn to the East. So when I saw this come out, I put out that I think this is a relatively manageable path for UConn. And a lot of people immediately scolded me. and said, how could you say that? Iowa State won the Big 12 tournament, Illinois won the Big 10 tournament, and Auburn won the SEC tournament. Terrence, am I right or wrong?
No, I think it's they're the number one overall seed, and they got a favorable draw. That's what happened. And guys, we're not taking anything away from Auburn. They had a great run, and they play a certain style it's awesome. It's fun. They have players. I actually think I'm a little worried for Auburn in round one. I really am. I think Yale is they play smart basketball. We know that because they go to Yale. They're going to be turn the ball over a ton against an Auburn team that relies on those things. They're very talented. I think it could be a sneaky, difficult game for Auburn. Sneaky, difficult game for Auburn in round one. San Diego State, UAB. San Diego State turns it into a rugby match. That works in the NCAA tournament. They're going to win there. And I have Northwestern over FAU, and we're going to put this FAU business because it's time to put it to sleep. And then UConn, San Diego State in the Sweet 16. And then I actually have UConn winning the whole thing. So,
yeah, same here.
I would say this is a cakewalk for UConn. And, you know, when I look at this bracket, you know, Illinois, you guys know what I think about them. They can't, you know, defensively, they're a liability. Iowa State, I don't know. I mean, that is the team I think could go a little bit, give UConn the biggest issue if they get to the Elite Eight. The problem is, like we talked about, they just won the Big 12 tournament. And then you think how sustainable or how tired or, you know, how are these guys? Are they hungry? Are they focusing? Are they happy and content walking into the tournament? That's what I always think about. But also BYU, I think Mark Pope's done a good job all year. That is a team that could, you know, make a little bit of a run. And you're right, Tio. Yale, they're a high IQ basketball team. They play smart, disciplined. So, they could give Auburn some issues there too, but San Diego State traditionally just going to beat you up, pound you up defensively, and that does win in the tournament like we talked about. But UConn is not going to have any issues until Elite Eight.
Hey, so Jaden Ledee, who I got to see in person several times over the last – he's been phenomenal for San Diego State this year. Over 20 points a game, but – Tyler, you're big on, hey, let's make basketball physical again. I think that's your T-shirt with the Field of 68. That dude is so physical. Whenever he plays in the post, he looks like that clip of the Hulk picking up Loki and just bouncing him around everywhere. Because, like, he just goes in and push him, and the refs don't know how to call it. He is so big and so physical and so strong that he just provides a completely different challenge than anybody else. Because I'm telling you, he's built like Zeus. That's what he looks like when he's out there on the court, and he moves everybody out there accordingly.
You know, when I look at this bracket, I actually think we're in for a rematch of the national championship game in the Sweet 16. I'm with you. I thought Auburn got screwed. Auburn, you deserve better. I don't like this draw. I like Yale. I'm taking Yale in the upset. I like San Diego State to get past UAB. UAB, congratulations. That is a death note for you to have to. You win your conference tournament earlier today, and then you look at the bracket, and you got to play San Diego State. Now that's not good news. That's bad news.
That's not fun.
No, it's not. That's a root canal waiting to happen. San Diego State, UConn, mean the Sweet 16, right? I like that a rematch of the national title game. Like we said, I mean, FAU being in an 8-9 game is a crime. They belong in, but there's no way they should be a single digit seed. But elsewhere in this region, like I
can think, I make a counter? Can I make a counter to for UAB? Can I make a quick counter?
Go ahead.
Yeah. Andy Kennedy lets his guys go. And they're going to get simple at times. And Eric Gaines is an electric playmaker who just beat who just beat San Diego State in the Mountain West Championship. It was New Mexico. What do? They were simple. They ran pick and roll and they let their And so there's some matchup situations there, and Andy Kennedy's always been a good coach. So we'll see how that goes. That's my only counter to that, but I'll throw my tongue over my shoulder now, and I'll let you get back to work, Fanta. Sorry.
They can score. I mean, there's no question that the Blazers can score. You know, 85 today against Temple, they really rolled to that win, and they got 29 points. I mean, what a performance. Alejandro Vasquez, the kid mm-hmm. from Queens, went off for 29 today. You're one of our stars of the night. I like BYU potentially. And I know they're relying on the three, but I kind of like their draw. Like, I do. I don't think it's bad. I mean, they got Duquesne, and Duquesne could stay hot, but I like BYU to win that game, Terrence. And then, like, Illinois kind of plays a style that BYU can be. If I'm BYU, I'm like, we'll play that way. Go ahead.
Yep. I'm with you. I have BYU all Sweet 16, and just because they do shoot the ball, and I think those matchups are good for them, and I think they play good team defense, and they move the basketball, and you're going to have to guard them on both sides of the floor. Well, Illinois' defense has been sporadic this year, so I think that's a concern. I have BYU beating Illinois in that second round, and then an underrated battle for Iowa here. Drake is in Des Moines against Iowa State in round two. That's more possible than people think.
Yes.
It might not happen, but it's more possible than people think because they have the DeVries kid that can score on his own. And that's how you have to play whenever you beat Iowa State, if you're able to beat Iowa State. You have to have somebody who's a very good individual guy, and Drake has that. And Drake's been waiting to play somebody like that. So don't be surprised if Drake is an upset over Washington State. And that game in that second round is close.
By the way, it is a crime that Washington State, a 7 seed, has to basically play a de facto road game in Omaha against Drake. Campus is an hour and a half away. Drake's campus is an hour and a half away. Drake's winning that game. Washington State, great story. Yep. I just like the Bulldogs in that game. I like Tucker DeVries too much. Let's get to – nobody's going against UConn unless you speak up. Let's go in the Midwest briefly. Purdue. Like Utah State, TCU, don't see it. Kansas is the 4, Gonzaga is the 5, don't see it. I don't see how Purdue doesn't get to the Elite Eight here. Anybody disagree?
I think they get to the Elite Eight, but they beat McNeese to get to the Elite Eight. I think McNeese beats Gonzaga. They beat Kansas because Kansas has been down, and they get to play Purdue in the Sweet 16.
Wow. And who's in the lower pod? Who do you got?
Tennessee ends up on top, but I have Tennessee, and then I think Texas loses in the first round to either Virginia or Colorado State, and then Creighton and Oregon.
Oh my! I mean, I like Colorado State, but you cannot tell me that you would pick Virginia over Texas.
I just don't think Texas is very good. I've been on that train all year. I've watched many a game with them. I don't think they're all that good. But prove me wrong, guys. Prove me wrong, Rodney. That's fine. Prove me wrong. But I've not been on the Longhorn train all year.
Tyler, is Purdue going to get to the Final Four, or is Tennessee going to say no way?
Let me see here. In this bracket, I think Purdue – I'm not a believer in Tennessee, and you guys know that. I do think Purdue makes it out of this bracket. Here's the thing is Creighton's been my sleeper all year, and I think Creighton has shown potential. And also, when I look at their roster, Kalkbrenner, he's one of the best defensive bigs in the country. He's been doing it for years. The Stephen Ashworth kid, he's a veteran player. He's also a player that late in games will make his free throws. He has a high IQ. And also they have Trey Alexander, potential NBA player, can get you a bucket. Baylor Shireman, explosive score. I think they have the pieces in their team that could go definitely on a run. But also I'm predicting one upset right here. It's Samford over Kansas. Kansas, and I love Bill Self. And the reason I say that, Fanta, is because this game's at altitude, and you're going to say, oh, Samford's playing at altitude too. They have a 10-man rotation. They can play a deep roster. Kansas can't. Kansas is limping into the tournament. McCullough questionable. Dickinson questionable. We don't know how healthy these guys are going to be. And at altitude and with their lack of depth, it makes them vulnerable. So that is a potential upset. I haven't been sold on Gonzaga. I don't think they're as good as they've been. They kind of got it going late. But to me, the teams that are kind of potential threats for the Final Four here are really Purdue and Creighton, in my opinion.
I wouldn't be mad at that at all. I think that's entirely possible.
You know, I'm going to do the same philosophy here with Tennessee that I've shared. You know, Tennessee gets punked by Mississippi State. I see too many things that I like with Tennessee between Dalton Knecht and those veteran guards. And remember, they had a golden opportunity to make a Final Four last year. They didn't. They squandered it. You know, they lost to FAU. This is Tennessee's best shot to get to that Final Four.
Yes.
It's sitting out there.
Exactly.
Is it not? And I think they will get there. I like Tennessee to get there.
Yeah, it was tough. It was tough, but didn't Purdue and Tennessee play earlier this year, and Purdue ended up, it was a close game. But yeah, if there's a year for that to happen, I think, guys, I've been high on Tennessee all year. You bring back a team that made it to the Sweet 16 last year, and it's basically everybody back, and then you add the best on-ball score. I feel like I've said it time and time again. If there's a year to do it, I feel like Tennessee can do it. But how about the fact that the committee put Purdue, who has gotten beaten the last two seasons, it really needs to get over the hump and get to the Final Four, and Tennessee, who I don't think has ever been there. That's golden opportunities for both of those to have that chance.
Hey, wanted to get this in. We've partnered with Splash Sports on the Field of 68 Survivor Madness. $5 to join at splashsports.com/68. Again, we've partnered with Splash Sports. You got to check it out. $5 to join. Where is it, Dagan? It's in the description, folks. Dagan Hughes and Trevor Valise, I want to shout both of them out. They're locked the hell in tonight and have been all throughout the day. By the way, our final four picks are presented by Vaulted. Store your predictions now and forever on the Vaulted app. Terrence Oglesby, Tyler Hansborough, you're going to have it here. Terrence, you got 20 seconds to give us your final four.
I think it's important that I preface this by saying I don't feel good about this at all. At all. I picked Duke, Purdue. Duke, Purdue, UConn, Arizona. We'll see.
Go ahead, Tyler.
I'm going Creighton, North Carolina, and Houston. And then, let's see here, UConn. UConn's got a cakewalk. Those are my four.
I like UConn, Arizona as well. Houston, and good old Rocky Top, Tennessee.
That fires me up right there. That Purdue-Tennessee pick is just so difficult for me. I understand the Creighton intrigue. They're just so big, so physical, both teams. So good.
I got 20 seconds to say this is going to be the best damn week of the year, and our marathon continues. This marathon, it's still got a couple more hours left. Where else would you rather be? We're passing the torch to a brand new crew here, folks. In just seconds, for T.O., Tyler Hansborough, I'm John Fanta. This has been a blast of an hour. Keep it locked right here because our marathon rolls on next.